All right, turn with me in your Bibles again to Genesis chapter 1. We'll pick up our reading at the end of the chapter and read through verse 3 of chapter 2. We'll begin at verse 27 of chapter 1. May God bless his holy word. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast, of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made. And behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. Amen. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. The Sabbath. Does the Sabbath matter anymore? In most churches today, the answer would be no. The Sabbath isn't considered important, relevant. It's like a relic from the past. Not for today. We don't want that. Maybe previous generations were into that. But in our day, most Christians dismiss the Sabbath as being of any importance at all anymore. It's thought of as a burden, as a restrictive ball and chain, rather than a blessing and a gift. Why is that? And we should all ask each other, we should ask ourselves, is the Sabbath something that's important to me? But more importantly, we should ask, is the Sabbath something that is important to God? Well, it is one of the Ten Commandments, so that's something. God said things like this: "You shall have no other gods, and you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not covet." We all recognize that these things are still valid. They haven't gone away. The only one that people really would like to see go away, apparently, is the Sabbath. But God also said this: "Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or your sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." That's the fourth commandment. It sounds there like God cares about the Sabbath. Another passage that shows God's concern about the Sabbath is another one that would give us a very positive view of the Sabbath, and that's Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14. God spoke through Isaiah, saying, "If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your own pleasure on my holy day. And you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable. If you honor it, not going your own way or seeking your own pleasure or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord. And I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. In case there was any doubt how the Lord felt, he adds at the end, thus says the Lord, I, the Lord, have spoken. That's a good passage for us to really meditate on, especially if we think of the Sabbath as a negative thing, if we think of it as a burden, a bummer, something we can't wait to get over with. Here God says, if we take the Sabbath seriously, if we take delight in it, very important point there, if we take delight in it and stop using it to just do whatever we want and instead treat the day the way God wants us to treat it, then it will be a great blessing to us. We will grow spiritually. We'll come to know the Lord better. We'll be refreshed. We'll be strengthened. Our love for God will be increased, deepened. Those are things we all need. Who knows how the Lord would bless us spiritually if we obeyed Him in this? The things we could all use to think about. Whenever God says something, we need to think about it. We need to listen to Him. We need to take it to heart. But that's the great thing about this God, is He gives us grace, more and more grace. He gives us grace to change. He gives us grace to start over if we've been doing something the wrong way. That's what He's doing there in that passage. He's calling the people of Israel in that instance to reconsider their ways in this particular area of their lives. And that's something that we ought to do as well, reconsider our ways with respect to the Sabbath or the Lord's Day. The Lord is a God who forgives, and He gives us strength to walk in His ways. And this is one of His ways. This is one of the things that He cares about. And it's something that is for our good. It's a blessing that He has given to us, and He wants us to be blessed. That's what the Sabbath was all about. God giving a great blessing to His people. We're not going to spend a lot of time tonight talking about all the questions that might come up about the Sabbath. Of course, our tradition sees Sunday as the Christian Sabbath, if you will, the New Testament speaking of it as the Lord's Day, and it's the change in day from Saturday to Sunday because of the Lord's resurrection. And the New Testament pattern is the church met on the Lord's Day, Sunday, in honor of that great resurrection of our Savior. But tonight, we're not going to get into all the details, all the what can you do, what shouldn't you do, and all that. We're going to just look at this first Sabbath here in the opening verses of chapter 2. The first Sabbath, God's rest on the seventh day of creation. We'll call this the creation ordinance of the Sabbath. We looked at some of the other creation ordinances last week. This is the ordinance of rest, Sabbath rest. Well, the seventh day here marks the transition from what God was doing in the days prior to what He starts to do from that point forward. It's a transition from His work of creation. That work was completed on the sixth day. Verses 1 and 2 tell us here, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished His work that He had done and rested on the seventh day from all His work that He had done. So everything that He had done in the work of creation was completed. There was nothing left to do in that work. He had made all things out of nothing. He had formed the earth. He had filled the earth with an amazing variety of wonderful creatures, and man as the crown of creation. And that work was done. God's creative work was completed in the space of 6 days, as our confession says. And I take that as ordinary days But the point here is not the length of days or anything like that. It is the fact that this is God's work week. These were God's work days. He's establishing a pattern by doing the work of creation in the space of 6 days, and he could have done it in the space of 1 day. He could have done it in the space of 1 millisecond, all of it, but he did it in the space of 6 days to establish a pattern for man. That pattern is 6 days of work and 1 very much needed day of rest. And that's the pattern he gave us to follow. Let's think about the importance of God's completed work here. Again, it was all finished. There wasn't a little bit more to wrap up, a little bit more creating work that had to be done, like is the case with us and our projects, things that drag on and on and didn't quite get completely finished. My honey-do list around the house, I think we've all got those. The work is never finished. This work was finished. God's creative work was complete entirely. And that is something I think that we can be encouraged in, because it shows us that God is a God who finishes what he starts. He sets out to do it, and he gets it done. As good as this particular work was that he did, the work of creation, there's another work that he would do that is even more wonderful to think about. This work of creation that he finished in the space of 6 days is just the precursor, just a foretaste of the even greater work of redemption that he would undertake and that his son would come into the world to undertake. And we can have confidence in our salvation all for that reason, that it is the work of God. And he finishes what he starts. He doesn't do things halfway. He doesn't get things most of the way done, and then there's some ongoing details that need to be finished up. No, he's a finisher. And our salvation rests in that fact. He's a God who completed the work of redeeming us. And his son, Jesus, is the one who completed that work. Remember what he said on the cross, those beautiful words, "It is finished." And then he died. The Savior had completed all the work that was necessary for our salvation by his work of obedience and suffering, suffering in our place, obeying in our place as well, obeying the law, suffering under its penalty. That was the work of our redemption. And there was no work left for him to do. When he laid down his life, when he gave up his spirit, he had done it all. He finished the work of redemption for all who believe in him, for all who trust in him. And when we do trust in Jesus Christ, God then gives us new life. He makes us new creations in Christ. He gives us the Spirit who undertakes that work of renovating us. He does that work in us, applying to us the work that the Savior has done for us. And now we then are changed, and we begin to do good works ourselves, the works that God has prepared for us to do, not works that have any merit, not works that earn any favor with God, but works that are done in response, in gratitude, motivated by love, motivated by thankfulness to God for this finished work of redemption that the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. He did it all. Now it is for us to just respond in love to him and serve him. Here in verse 1, Genesis 2, verse 1, the work of creation was all done, and God rested. He rested. That's beautiful. But it's important for us to think about what kind of rest this is. The end of verse 2 says, "On the seventh day he rested from all his work." And the meaning there is that he rested, he ceased from the work that he had been doing the previous 6 days. That work was done. It didn't need anything to be added to it. No reason to go on doing that work any longer. God ceased from all of that creating work. It was finished. But he didn't cease from all work. No, he kept right on working, but in a completely different way. Think about what Jesus said in John 5. The Jews were persecuting him because he was doing good works on, what, the Sabbath. But Jesus said, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." God has always been at work. He's continuing to work. He's continuing with his work of providence, preserving and governing and upholding the whole creation and moving it toward its appointed end, upholding all the very details of everything. Calvin said, "God sustains the world by his power, governs it by his providence, and propagates all creatures. He is constantly at work." And of course, he was at work to do that work of redemption as well, and he's still working and active in the lives of all his people by his Spirit. God never rests in the sense of inactivity. He didn't just shift into park and do nothing. That's not the meaning of God's rest here. That's important for us to know because it has bearing on how we follow God's pattern, his pattern of work and rest. Our Sabbath rest is meant to be modeled after God's rest, and it's not to be just inactivity. It's not to be doing nothing, which seems to have been the way that the Jews thought of it. It is a full, active kind of resting. Not that you can't do some physical resting on the Lord's Day. You certainly can and probably should. But the Jews were wrong to think of the Sabbath only in terms of what they should not do. Almost like they should do absolutely nothing at all. Don't even lift a finger. What a sad way to think about a day that God says is supposed to be a delight. It's supposed to be a great blessing. They turned it into just a prison, just a miserable checklist of do's and don'ts. Now, of course, we need to make choices about what we will do and what we won't do on this day. But I think we need to think of it in a much more positive way than the Jews did. It's meant to be a positive day. It's meant to be a day that's a blessing. Meant to be a day that's filled with good things, with the worship of God, first of all, worship in public, worship in private, and also our confession would say, fill the day with worship and works of necessity and mercy. I'm not going to delve into all of what qualifies for deeds of necessity and mercy. I think you can think of what the basic meanings of those words are and then just seek to apply them to the choices you make, and don't be too broad. Not everything is a work of necessity just because you could do it. Things like doctors providing health care, emergency care, nursing, things of that nature. You know, is it a true necessity? Is it a true act of mercy? Something that you can do for someone else who is in need, someone who needs care, someone who needs a helping hand, someone who needs a phone call, someone who needs an act of love to be shown toward them. These are deeds of necessity, deeds of mercy. Those are the kinds of principles that can guide us in those do's and don'ts for the Lord's Day. Another thing we could ask is, will my activity cause someone else to violate the Sabbath? Or will I be nudging them in that direction? Will I be giving support to them in doing so, in violating the Sabbath in some way? You know, here we go. Going to a store or a restaurant. Those are the things probably come up most frequently on the Lord's Day. These are things we should think about. Yeah, maybe it's an act of mercy to us, but you're taking advantage of the fact that other people are working on the Lord's Day in order to serve you. Do you really want to do that? Now, it's true that in our society, people would be working anyway. People would be working on Sunday, whether you're going to go to those businesses or not. But I don't know if that should be the rationale we use. Now, we live in a money-hungry culture with greedy business owners who keep those businesses open. We may not be able to change that, but the point is not that. The point is that we serve the Lord. We belong to the Lord. And we need to shape our lives according to what pleases Him and live as He's called us to live in His Word. And this is not so hard. With just a little bit of foresight and planning, we can manage to get through Sunday without the need to go eat at a restaurant or go shopping at Costco and so on. If we just follow the pattern the Lord has given us, we've got 6 days. 6 days to get those needs handled. 6 days to prepare for this one day of rest. God did all His work on 6 days. Surely we can too. I think we have to think spiritually about this. We have to come at this by faith as well. If He says, do this, get your work done, handle your worldly business in the space of 6 days, and I'll bless you. Well, why not try to do that then? We've fallen very far from the practices of our Christian forefathers and brethren in generations past about the Lord's Day. And it's probably not because we're smarter or more enlightened than they are, but we are failing to realize a blessing. We're missing out by failing to set apart the Lord's Day. It is to our own detriment. This is a blessing for our good, and we're rejecting it. We're hurting ourselves. But again, it's important we understand that the Sabbath was not meant to be inactivity. It's a day that's full of good activity, but again, it's a totally different kind of activity. It's a day for God's people to do business with God. You know, set apart your other business, get that done, worldly business, do business with God on this day, first and foremost. Puritans called it the market day of the soul. It's for soul business. You're set free on this day. Think of it that way. This is like a holiday. This should be the best day of the week for you and me. You're set free for better things, things that you don't have time for in the other 6 days of the week. And God set it apart for this purpose. It's not just a day that we should monkey with and say, well, I don't want it to be set apart. I want it to be like the rest of the others. God set it apart. And you and I should recognize that. And we should set it apart too in our choices and in our activities. Do all you can to rest from those other things that consume you the other 6 days of the week. And just do all you can to enter into the blessing of the Lord's Day. And that, again, includes, first of all, the refreshing, spiritually nourishing work of worship. We can fill the day with worship, public and private. Evening worship is a great way to fill the day, to end it as we began it, like bookends. Fellowship with the saints, ministry to others, and just coming to know God better on your own. If you've got time to read His Word, pray in private. I would plead with you to start your Lord's Day when you wake up in the morning, pray for God's blessing on your church, on your pastor, on the people who are going to hear the Word. We need that. I need your prayers. Everybody in this body needs your prayers. Start your Lord's Day that way, with that kind of prayer. This is a sweet blessing that God has given to us. He's given you this amazing gift. It's like if your boss said, hey, I'm giving you a whole day out of your work schedule to just be completely free and not have to do any of that work anymore. He's given us permission, freedom, to completely just cast off all those other cares of the normal weekday work and just enjoy God and the things of God. It's a gift. It's a gift from God for your good, for your soul's good. And He actually commanded it. He commanded His people to take one day off in every seven, to cease from all other duties so that we can enjoy Him and His people. It's a command. And it's a need. Again, it's a need. Your soul needs it. Just like we need a day off physically, we need a holiday from time to time, we need a vacation every once in a while, your soul needs the Sabbath. One day in seven. It's so good. It's good for you and me. It will refresh you. It will encourage you. It will strengthen you spiritually. There's a great blessing there for you to enjoy. Why would you forfeit that? God has blessed the Sabbath day, and He made it holy. He set it apart. It is still set apart because He did that. It is still blessed. It's still a tremendous blessing to you and I if we will avail ourselves of it. God wants to bless you in it. He wants to draw you nearer to Himself and build you up in your faith through this blessing of the Lord's Day. And He knows you need that rest from all your other labors. And He knows you need that spiritual rest. So He gave us this special day as a means of blessing. As we go tonight, just give some thought and prayer to how God might be calling you to sanctify the Lord's Day and to call it a delight more and more. And let's ask Him to help us to do that with all our hearts. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word, where we confess that this is a hard one for many of us. We ask that You would write Your word on our hearts. We don't have it in us oftentimes to do what You call us to do. We pray that You'd help us. Help us not to be frustrated by this command of the Sabbath, the fourth commandment. Help us to see the blessing of it. You know best. You know better than we know what is good for us. And You have said that this day is a day of great blessing. All Your commands are good, as the psalmist is so clear about. They're all perfect. They revive the soul. They rejoice our hearts. They're more to be desired than gold, sweeter than honey. And we pray that You would make this Sabbath command very sweet to us, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.